to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace, and that would wipe the smile right from my face. Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt. Nick.
Double D.
We're back.
We're here.
We never left.
No, we did not.
We never leave the studio.
It's just too nice in here.
You know, days come and go, the months, the years. And
yeah.
We just never leave the studio.
No, why? Look what we got.
We should never. Houghton Lake is right across this. I mean, the lake is across
yes.
the street.
Yep.
Beautiful we've got
lake.
Everything we need within a half a mile.
Yes, we do.
Of the studio.
Yes.
Unbelievable. How is your weekend going?
My weekend is going fabulous.
I lost my voice again.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's getting kind of rough there.
I need to rest my voice and not talk for 6 hours out of any day just so I can regain my vocal cords. But it's absolutely impossible. My just brain is always moving and thinking. In fact, my brain is moving so fast and my voice is so hoarse I can't get the words out. So people are looking at me. And I'm making these facial expressions, and nothing's coming out. I'm like a silent movie.
So what, do you talk in your sleep too, so you wouldn't even get your 6 hours there?
No, in my sleep, I always mountain bike, so I wake up tired.
Okay, all right.
No, but my thoughts move so fast,
yeah, I know.
I can't get the words out because my throat's not cooperating.
I'm glad I don't have that problem.
I'm just saying, what a huge, okay, no.
Yeah.
No. I just, no. What?
The papers, the piles, everywhere.
Mean what?
I mean, you have a lot to talk about, and this is going to be a big show.
No, this is a show, folks, seriously, that we are going to be discussing. We may lose. We now have 43 and a half listeners, but I think the lady who was pregnant gave birth, so hopefully her newborn baby is listening to the show.
Okay.
Okay, we have 44 listeners now.
Well, that's great that we're climbing.
I am going to be discussing throughout the entire show, from segment 1 to segment 4, House Bill 4209.
Okay.
Public Act 281, where the governor signed an act to license and regulate medical marijuana growers, processors, provisioning centers, secure transporters, and safety compliance facilities. I am going to discuss and educate the public
okay.
on what this law means, how it applies to anyone and everyone out there that's currently involved in medical marijuana, is seeking to become involved, and when it all takes place.
Okay.
That's a lot of information.
It is a lot of information, but it's important information.
And seats are filling up at the October 28th Cannabis Conference here in Mount Pleasant at the Comfort Inn.
That's great.
So go online today, folks, and register. You can go to my website, centralmichiganlawyer.com, centralmichiganlawyer.com with a hoarse voice, or go to cannabislegalgroup.com and register there.
That's right.
So talk about information, plethora of information.
Yes, it is.
I have so much marijuana information in my head that I'm hungry.
Okay.
I'm hungry. I need munchies.
Taco Bell.
And I'm not smoking. It's just information.
That's right.
Okay. Hey, but before we get to those and that information, I have some big shout outs.
Okay.
A good friend and a friend of the show, Dean Gardner out of West Branch. Great guy. Do you know Dean?
No, I do not.
Dean Gardner, my voice is hoarse. Great guy out of the West Branch area. Listens to the show all the time, and he's just a great man, great family. And he had a great idea, great recommendation. Now, I'm not recommending anybody do this, but it made sense in regards to that tailgate story.
Yeah.
You know, if someone's tailgating you, I'm not saying you should do this, folks. Just turn on your windshield wipers. And if they're that close, they're going to get a spray.
Yes, they will.
Now, you do not want to obviously do this if you think it's going to disrupt the flow of traffic or cause someone behind you to swerve or cause an accident. I'm just saying you have a right at any time, whether someone's tailgating you or not, to turn on your windshield wipers.
Yes, you do.
So, Dean, big shout out to Dean for that.
Thank you, Dean.
Yeah. Big shout out to John.
Okay, who's John?
John John's my buddy who works at this the Pickard Road Sitco in Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
John, great guy. And all the workers over there. Coin Oil owns it.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. And our good friend Terry Olson, he listens to 98.5 7 days a week, 24 hours.
Okay.
Terry's a great guy from the area. So Terry called, and I want to give Terry a big shout out. Also, I want to mention that I want to talk a moment about Gladwin County.
Okay.
Gladwin County, the men and women there do a great job, from the road commission to the courthouse, the law enforcement, just a great job.
Okay.
But Tittabawassee Street in Gladwin County, they need to brime that road. It's a very dusty road, and there's a lot of men and women who live on Tittabawassee Street. And they, you know what briming a road is?
No, I do not.
It's when a road is dusty.
Okay.
I may be saying it wrong. It's something that is put on the road so that it takes away the dust.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. So Gladwin County Road Commission, please get out to Tittabawassee Street in Gladwin County and brime that road.
Say they need one of those sweepers out there.
No, it's a chemical they put down. A
chemical, okay.
Takes care of the dust. There's a few men and women out there that I know that have OCP. What's that? OCPD? I'm saying it wrong.
COPD.
I apologize.
Yeah,
COPD.
Yeah,
so they could really they could use some briming out there. I'm going to call the county. I'm going to check up on that for the good folks out there.
That would be a very good idea.
Big shout out to Terry Olson and Dean Gardner for that.
Okay.
All right. So let's get to some of the information we have here.
All right.
Where should we start?
Oh, might as well start with page one there.
Page one.
You've got a lot there.
First off, do you have any complaints?
Do I have any complaints?
Yeah, before I start.
It's actually been a really good week.
It has?
Yes.
You look good.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
I'm awake.
Did you get a good night's sleep?
Yes, I did.
What'd you have for breakfast?
I had Frosted Flakes.
You did?
Yes, I did.
You know what? Nick, you are totally a Frosted Flake kind of lady. You're not flaky, but...
I love Frosted Flakes.
I could see you. I had an issue with cereal this morning.
What kind of cereal were you having an issue with?
Well, Cheerios.
Okay.
I like Cheerios.
Yeah, Cheerios are very good.
I poured a big bowl of Cheerios.
Okay.
And I went to put some milk on the Cheerios.
Yeah.
I ran out of milk.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
No, so let me tell you what I did. I consumed the Cheerios, drove on the way to the show here. Well, I stopped off at the store.
Right.
Drank some milk. Jumped up and down to shake it around my stomach, and I had a great bowl of milk and Cheerios.
All right.
No, it's a true story.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about this new law here in Michigan.
Okay.
The governor on September 21st signed it as a law, and it became an act.
Okay.
It went from all these House bills. When he signed it, it became a public act.
All right.
281.
281.
The question is, When does everything start to take place? That's a big question.
Well, yeah, it is.
It's not the day he signed it. It's 90 days after the signature, it becomes law.
Okay.
But those seeking to obtain a license to become a grower, which is a cultivator, a processor, have a provisioning center, a secure transporter, or a safety compliance facility, you cannot apply until December of 2017.
Wow.
So exactly. So everyone's calling me, oh, the governor just signed this law. When does it take effect? Everybody's asking me that.
So even though it takes effect in 90 days, they still have to wait the year.
The entire year, December of 2017.
Okay.
So the Licensing Act is effective, as I keep saying, 90 days after it's enacted. And then a year after that, individuals and businesses will be able to begin applying to the board for licenses, okay? And here's the thing. Facilities cannot, and I cannot say this enough, cannot operate unless the municipality in which they wish to locate has adopted an ordinance authorizing that kind of facility. Now, here's the key, folks. Here's the key. I feel and believe that the state will issue as many licenses, I can't say it with my throat, as possible.
Okay.
The problem is going to be that the municipalities are going to max out what they allow within their communities. So, and in order to apply for one of these licenses, you have to show proof that the municipality has approved your operation within their community.
Wow.
And there's going to be a point where the municipalities, just like liquor license, are going to max out.
Right.
They're not going to allow it. So, albeit you can apply for one of these licenses, but the municipalities are going to control what goes on in their own communities.
Well, of course.
But my fear is that these local communities are going to put up a firewall in allowing individuals to operate. Dispensaries, cultivation centers, processing centers, and so on. Now, here's the issue. And we're going to talk about what's involved in applying for a license when we come back from break. So here's the issue. Right now, as a law, as I interpret the law, you if you're a cultivator, you know, you have to deliver through an independent transportation company the marijuana to the processor.
Okay.
In another location.
Ah.
That's just too inconvenient.
It is.
I mean, if you have a grow operation, you should be able to do everything right there on site.
You should.
Not have to transport it to a processing center. We have to go to break. When we come back, I have a lot of information and a hoarse voice. Nick, take us to break.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Nick, we're back from break.
We're back.
Do you like the nickname Nick?
It's growing on me.
Has anybody ever referred to you as Nick?
No.
What's mine?
Double D.
T-O-double-D.
T-O-double-D.
I've had it for 40 years.
Wow.
It's Todd. What people used to say, why do they call you T-O-double-D? It's like, really?
Yeah, really?
You're kidding me, really? All right, let's talk about the different types of licenses that can be applied for.
Okay.
You can apply to become a grower, a cultivator. And there's three classes of Class A, 500 marijuana plants, Class B, 1,000 marijuana plants, or Class C, 1,500 marijuana plants. Now, a grower license, Nick, authorizes the grower to grow not more than the number of plants under the class for which they have a license for. So if you have a license to grow 500, you cannot grow 501.
Correct.
This is going to be regulated.
Yes.
One of the other requirements to have a license to grow is that you have an active employee who is an individual that has a minimum of 2 years experience as a registered primary caregiver. So you have to employ, and this has to be indicated on the application form, you have to have somebody that has been, at least for 2 years, a caregiver. But here's the thing. That person who you now employ can no longer be a caregiver. They cannot work for you as a cultivator or grower and still be a caregiver.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
So the question is, what's going to happen to all the caregivers out there?
Yeah, of course.
Albeit dispensaries are now going to flourish, we still are a state that does not allow recreational marijuana.
Right.
Which is ridiculous.
It is.
It makes no logical sense to me. Folks, let me just remind you, albeit that you cannot apply for one of these licenses until December 2017, you should still contact an attorney such as myself, and if that's a shameless plug, so be it. My firm, Levitt Law Firm, is now and has been set up to handle everything that has to do with going into business and obtaining one of these licenses. We will help you with the application process. I mean, we basically do it for you. We can't sign the document. You have to provide us the information, but we know exactly what the state of Michigan is going to be looking for. At least we'd like to think we do.
Right.
So we'll help you with all of the information to put together the application. We'll work with you for compliance, get all the documents together, put together standard operating procedures. We'll do your articles of incorporation. We'll assist you with banking because that's been a big issue. We have accountants we're working with. We'll help you create, if you're going to create a dispensary or a business or an edible business, we'll help you create your brand in regards to the name of it, in regards to designing logos. We have web development people who we're working with now to take your idea and give it birth. So we'll assist with business developing and planning. We'll help you comply with all local and state laws. We'll also work with NCNIC, the municipalities, to, you know, at the with the planning commissioners, the zoning boards, to assist you in setting up your business in those communities.
Okay.
There's zoning variances that can be done. There's all types of different things. We are now at Levitt Law Firm in a position to do that. And we have been doing some of that work already, but now I haven't really promoted it on the radio because now the law is signed.
Right.
Which, you know, we'll also work with you with the Michigan Department of Health registration. We'll help you obtain a federal tax ID number, employment number, because you're going to be a corporation. We also, I have staff members who can help with training programs for employees, transportation, logistics. I mean, you name it, my firm is now set up in place that if anyone out there wants to go into the business of marijuana under this new law, you can contact my office. We're ready to go.
All right.
And we're damn
great.
Good at what we do. I put together a team that is just crazy.
Right. Yes.
So 989-772-6000. So if you just missed the first segment, we were talking about the new law that's passed that is now in effect or will take effect soon. Now, you can grow 500 plants, 1,000, or 1,500 plants. Now, a processor. This is what really upsets me about the law. So Nikki, let's talk about what is a processor license? Okay, what is the definition of a processor license? A processor means a licensee that is a commercial entity located in this state of Michigan that purchases marijuana from a grower and that extracts resin from the marijuana or creates a marijuana-infused product for sale and transfer in package form to a provisioning center. That's what a processor is.
Okay.
So what's a provisioning center? That is a dispensary. So a provisioning center is a commercial entity located in the state of Michigan that purchases marijuana from a grower or processor and sells, supplies, and provides marijuana to registered qualifying patients directly or through the patient's registry primary caregivers. And these provisioning centers, dispensaries, include any commercial property where marijuana is sold at retail to registered qualifying patients or registered primary caregivers. And a registered primary caregiver means a primary caregiver who has been issued a current registry identification card under the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act.
Right.
So that's something that I want to make sure you understand that.
That's a lot of people involved there.
Right, exactly. Now, how about if you don't want to be a grower or a processor, but you want to get into the transportation business? So how it's going to work is if you're cultivating, you cannot then transport the marijuana to the dispensary.
Wow.
You see?
Yeah.
So now the processor has to then have it and you can't even transport it from the where you cultivate it to the processor. You have to have some transportation set up. Now the processor should be able to set this up.
Okay. Yeah, okay? They should.
Yeah. But so what if you want to be a processor? What if you want to own the transportation business?
Okay.
So if there's people out there listening that want to get into the transportation part of this, you know, it better be secure.
Right. Well, definitely.
Better be secure. So you can apply for a transportation license under the new act.
Okay.
And a secure transporter license authorizes the individual to store and transport marijuana and money associated with the purchase or sale of marijuana between marijuana facilities for a fee upon request of a person with legal custody of that marijuana. It does not authorize transport to a registered qualifying patient or primary caregiver. That has to go through the dispensary.
Okay.
You see?
Yes.
So in order to be eligible for a secure transporter license, the applicant and each investor with an interest in the secure transporter must not have an interest in the cultivation, which is the grower, the processor, or the provisioning center, or the safety compliance facility. And this person who's a transporter must not be a registered qualifying patient or primary caregiver. So basically, if you're involved in transporting, you cannot have an interest in anything else.
No, you can't.
That's it. Which makes sense. Because if you have an interest in the cultivation, then it's in conflict with this law. Because we
Correct.
Just said if you're a cultivator, you can't be a transporter.
Right.
So you can't cultivate and transport the marijuana to the provisioning center, then to the dispensary.
Got it.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It's complex. It is.
But the law, I have it on my website. I mean, you can Google the law. Just Google House Bill 4209.
Okay.
That's what it is. So now the question is this. What prevents me from applying for a license? Will I be able to, in December 2017, apply for a license? That's the question. I'm going to go over everything that will prevent you from applying for a license. When we come back from break, Nick, take us out.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my home.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, joined in studio with Nick, otherwise known as Nikki Morissette.
Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Nikki. And we have a lot of information to get to.
Yes, we do.
So if you're just tuning in, we have been reviewing the requirements of what a license is, sort of the definition of what a license is. And we're going to talk about what would prevent you from applying for one of those licenses.
Yes.
And but here's something else that's huge. If you or someone you know in the past were convicted of possessing edibles,
okay,
wax, anything considered to be outside of the act in regards to edibles,
okay, yeah,
and wax, it's the law is now curing that conviction, meaning I'm now in a position where if you are that person and you went to court and you were convicted and you paid a fine and you paid the state because you possess wax or edibles, the courts have to set aside those convictions now.
Really?
Absolutely. Not only that, it's curative in nature. Curative, folks, which means you should be put in a place that you were both as a citizen and financially before the court got a hold of you and you were convicted. So, and I'm telling you, it's under 333.26424. It explains that, you know, it's retroactive.
Wow.
Exactly.
So that is.
So if you are someone you know has been convicted of possessing wax, edibles, other substances that revolve around the wax and edibles.
Okay.
Call my office. I'll file a motion to set aside the conviction and seek relief for you.
There you go. Yes.
I mean, is the state of Michigan and the courts going to pay all these people back?
No.
Is the state of Michigan and the courts and the entire system going to, you know, pay these individuals for missing work or having to bond out or having their property forfeited or having to go through the humiliation of being arrested and handcuffed in front of loved ones, friends, and family?
No, but at least the convictions can get set aside.
Exactly.
That's at least a good place to start.
So, and how that works is, as an attorney, you file a motion to set aside the conviction. Therefore, once the judge signs the order, you request to have the fingerprints removed and the information removed from the abstract under a criminal history background check.
Okay.
But what about license sanctions? Who's going to cure that? Because if you're convicted of certain drug crimes in Michigan, you have to pay not only a dry responsibility fee in the past, no longer.
Right.
There's still a fee that applies. That's going away in 2018, by the way.
Right.
But this is curative in nature. How far is it going to go?
Good question.
I mean, the state jacks us for all these fines, taxes, and costs all the time. It's ridiculous.
It is.
You know? I want to see the people get paid. I'm not happy about this. I'm happy because it's now in place. But can you imagine how destructive and these people's lives have been?
Oh, I imagine they've been very destructive.
I see it every day.
Nobody's going to get the money back.
I see it every day what these people go through.
Right. The financial part of it will never be brought back.
Nor can the human side.
No, it can't.
But
some
again,
of them get through that pain and suffering and humiliation, and that'll never get taken away or made better.
But at least you can now set aside those convictions if it had anything to do with edibles or wax.
Right.
Right. By the way, a marijuana facility shall not operate in a municipality unless, again, folks, that municipality has adopted an ordinance that authorizes the type of facility that you want to open and operate. That's why what I've done at my office at Levitt Law Firm, we now have a list of most of the municipalities and counties and communities throughout the state of Michigan that either had an ordinance in place when the Medical Marijuana Act was passed, they drafted ordinances, they've since drafted ordinances, and a lot of these really small communities don't have anything, they don't know how to address it. That's where we come in. So we'll assist the folks with all that.
Okay.
See, the thing that my experience as is not just as an attorney, but as a businessman. I used to publish a legal newspaper, The Legal Advocator. I used to actually produce my own. I had a food company. I used to design, bottle, create, produce, and distribute salad dressing all over the East Coast.
I remember that.
I used to have a couple snowboard, skateboard shops.
Right.
I taught at Central Michigan University in the College of Business, both marketing and how to launch a brand.
All right.
So I would teach the students exactly what I'm doing as a lawyer now with these marijuana facilities. I'm going to teach you. Well, first we have to determine whether or not you are even qualified to operate this sort of business. Just because this license is going to be available, folks, if you don't have any business experience or background, it doesn't matter. You're not going to be successful.
Right.
Just because you're going to get a license to be a cultivator or a processor or a grower or transport, or there's a testing facility also now because there's going to be testing facilities.
Right.
Doesn't mean because you obtain a license, you know how to run a business.
Correct.
Just because I'm an attorney, what about the business of law?
True.
I have a seminar company, Levitt Law Seminars, with Rob Pizzielli, who is an attorney that works with me in the cannabis industry. And we have a seminar company. We were in Chicago last month teaching law students when they graduate how to run the business of law.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is if you're going to hire an attorney, and there's a lot of qualified attorneys around the state who can help you in these licensing procedures, but does that attorney, does he or she have the business background to guide you as I can from start to finish through the business end of it?
Right.
I'm not just going to, don't just take my money and help me get a license. What about guiding me, you know, with the accounting process, the licensing, the taxes, the unemployment insurance, the insurance in itself.
There's a lot revolved.
What about
Obamacare,
health insurance?
Definitely.
What about the zoning, signage?
Yeah, there's a lot involved in opening, running, and maintaining any business.
How about just coming up with an idea and developing the right brand identity so that you have a presence online through social media, you pick out the right colors for your business?
It's a lot of work.
Right, it's not just, hey, give me your money, I'm a lawyer, I'll get you a license. How about some business guidance? So I serve, and again, this sounds like a huge solicitation. It's not. I'm trying to help the people here.
Correct.
Make the right decisions.
Right, and do it the right way.
Over the years, I've gotten a lot of phone calls on cases that I personally do not handle. So I'll refer them out to Dan O'Neill, Dwight Carpenter, Joe Barbary, you know, Jeff Redding when he wasn't a prosecutor. I mean, I'll refer cases out, but this is one area of the law that I'm not referring out. When it
right.
comes to me, there's no one better than me, I feel, to handle the business of marijuana other than me.
Well, because you've
and
done
my
business.
associates who
right.
I work with.
Right.
I'm sorry. I just want to go off
with
on
the
that.
Experience that you have to bring for all these people.
I've just, you know, forming the right corporation, filing the right documents, protecting your trademark, your logo, your copyright.
Yes.
There's so much involved.
Definitely.
It's
just,
hey, I'm going to get a license and I'm going to become rich. Guess what, folks? It doesn't work that way.
No, it
If
does
you think
not.
You're going to get a license and get rich, guess what? You're not. Nothing comes easy.
No.
And there's a lot of people out there who've been running dispensaries and doing quite well. But they know they're running the business the right way.
Correct.
And that's key.
Yes, it is.
So you have to make sure that the municipality will adopt the ordinance to authorize the type of facility that you want to open.
Okay. Are there going to be municipalities out there that won't?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, that's where as lawyers, we're going to bring litigation. Because this is the law. And just because there's men and women in that community who may not agree with what the law says is now legal, too bad.
They would have to do that?
Well, I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say, you know, I'll let the courts decide.
Okay, all
but
right.
But the one thing about the law I don't agree with is that if you're a cultivator, you cannot process on the same property.
I know. That
That doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not.
See, I think what should happen is that the local communities can pass ordinances allowing the cultivators or the growers to have the processing plant right next to them on the same property. And that way, eventually the state will see it makes sense not to pay the extra money to have to transport what you're growing to the processor.
Yeah, that would be...
I think the state of Michigan, and I don't know the answer to this, may be wanting to, you know, increase the ability of people to seek employment and open up other areas.
Which is understandable, but this is going a little bit too far.
It is. Now, I got off a little bit there because, you know, I wanted to vent.
Right.
But we do need to talk about what would exclude someone and what is required in applying for one of these licenses. And I promise you, Nick, when we come back from break, I'm not even going to small talk. I'm going to go right into it.
All right.
So, Nick.
T-O-double-D.
Take us to break.
Here we go.
Oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law. Lawman is putting an end to my running and I'm so far from my home.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Nikki, we're going to finish strong.
Yes, we are.
An applicant, we're talking about what would prevent someone from obtaining a license under the new law. An applicant is ineligible to receive a license if any of the following circumstances exist. How's my voice doing, by the way?
It's getting rough.
It's hard to I'm pushing it out there.
Yes, sure.
Normally I can just talk and it comes out. This is effort.
Yes, it is.
This is not easy. So I'm going to be using, you know, I'm going to write on a pad all day when people talk to me. I need to rest my voice. Okay. If the person applying for the license has been convicted or released from incarceration for a felony under the laws of this state or any other state. So if you've been convicted of a felony, you're not going to be able to apply for one of these licenses. But here's a qualifier. Within the past 10 years. Or has been convicted of a controlled substance-related felony within the past 10 years. So if you're convicted of a felony and it's beyond 10 years, then should not prevent you from applying for a license.
Okay.
Within the past 5 years, the person applying, this would prevent them if they've been convicted of a misdemeanor involving a controlled substance within the past 5 years, theft, dishonesty, or fraud, or in any state, or have been found responsible for violating a local ordinance in any state involving a controlled substance, dishonesty, theft, or fraud. The applicant has knowingly submitted an application for a license under this act that contains false information. And we said it last week. If you're filling out an application, of course you're not going to want to give false information. How about if the applicant, this would also prevent you from obtaining a license, if the applicant fails to demonstrate his or her ability to maintain adequate premise liability and casualty insurance for its proposed marijuana facility. Now, I have a lot of personal information that I'm not going to get into on this show in regards to the adequate premise liability and casualty insurance. In fact, we're going to do an entire show on it. So that's going to be huge.
Right.
Because you're going to be required to have that insurance.
Oh, definitely.
But you know what the problem is? It's like the banking industry. A lot of the insurance companies cannot underwrite these policies. Folks, I'm not just saying this as a solicitation. I can point you in the right direction regarding the insurance.
Okay.
All right. And another thing that will prevent you from obtaining a license is if the individual holds an elective office of a governmental unit of the state of Michigan or another state or the federal government. Or they're employed by a regulatory body of a governmental unit in this state or any other state or the federal government.
Okay.
That's good.
Yes,
you can't because there's no conflict of interest here.
Right.
The applicant would be prevented from obtaining a license if they're an individual and they have been a resident of the state for less than a continuous 2-year period.
That's another good thing.
Yeah. Keep it local, right?
Yes.
That's good, right? Now, in determining whether to grant a licensee an applicant, the board, are you ready for, because there's going to be a board.
Okay.
And I don't have time to get into who's going to make up the board, but you can look it up online or go to my website, centralmichiganlawyer.com, look at my blog articles. The board can consider the integrity, moral character and reputation, personal and business reputation, financial ability and experience, and responsibility or means to operate or maintain a marijuana facility. I mean, come on. How can one person who doesn't know you determine whether or not you have the business experience?
Or what your morals are.
Or no. You're a good moral character and reputation. What are you going to, you know, believe what somebody told you?
So they're just going to make assumptions about
exactly.
these people and decide, okay, well, I don't like the way this person talks, so they're not going to, we're not going to grant them this license. That's not right and not
that
fair.
That was the problem with the gun boards. Thank God they did away with the gun
boards.
Well, yeah,
boards. I'm glad they did too.
I have a problem
but
with...
But this is going to cause a problem.
Oh, you better believe it. How about this? This will also prevent you. The financial... Well, the gun board also is looking into the financial ability of the person applying to purchase and maintain adequate, what we just talked about, liability and casualty insurance. They're going to look at their total amount of the capitalization to operate and maintain the proposed marijuana facility.
No, you.
Well, but here's the thing. So
I can understand the insurance part.
Right. So now, if you're not financially fit or what this person on the board feels is financially stable, then you may not get a license.
And that, I don't agree.
Now,
with.
Whether they're going to look at whether the applicant has been indicted for or charged with or arrested or convicted or pled guilty or you had it dismissed, you forfeited bail, you had something expunged, any relevant criminal offense under the laws of any jurisdiction, either a felony misdemeanor, not traffic tickets. And whether it has been expunged or not, their board's going to look at that.
Wow.
So, gee, good gosh. And here's the other thing, whether or not you have filed bankruptcy within the past 7 years, that could also prevent you from obtaining a license. How about this? Whether the individual has been served with a complaint or notice filed with any public body regarding payment of any tax required under federal, state, or local laws that has been delinquent for one or more years.
Some of it I agree with. Some of it I do not.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
You're not giving these people a chance or an opportunity.
Each applicant has to submit and shall submit with its application on forms. I mean, everything, a passport, quality photograph, fingerprints. I mean, it goes on and on and on. So... Folks, again, you know, as an attorney, I am fully confident, and I have a great staff, and I'm surrounded by attorneys. Attorney Robert J. Pizzialli is one of them from Metro Detroit. Attorney Pizzialli has worked in franchising, licensing. He's a builder also, so he's worked with zoning and ordinances. So I have a great staff here. We can help you. From everything from determining if you qualify for the license to the application process and the business consulting from A to Z.
Right, right.
How to deal with the communities, how to comply with the local zoning ordinances, how to even work with the municipalities to get approval to set up your business.
And this is all needed.
But what I'm excited to do for the folks who retain us to do this is help them give birth to their ideas.
Right.
Come up with a name for their business. That's so exciting. Help them design and develop logos and give
to
it.
Personalize it for them.
Give it a brand identity. I mean, if you're going to go into business, do it right.
Well, definitely.
How to hire the right employees. How to put together an employee handbook. I mean, there's just so much to running a business the right way. Also, I've aligned myself. Well, he's my cousin, actually. And he has dealt with quality control in the automotive industry, and we are now applying some of these outstanding high standards to our clients' applications to the state of Michigan to show the state of Michigan that they're going to be complying with safety regulations and quality control.
That's good. Very good.
Exactly.
Yes, that is needed when opening any business.
And let's talk about the quality if you're a cultivator of the product you're going to be selling.
Right.
You want to have a very good quality product at a very good percentage.
Correct, you do.
That's all I'm going to say on the air.
That's it.
And everything we're talking about is legal because it's now a public act 281.
Yes, it is.
There is so much more to go over. We're going to be talking about this in weeks to come. And, you know, I don't use this show to solicit. And I think the audience would agree with me. I don't sit here on the radio every segment and call my office. But this is one time because I have a platform that
this is beneficial for them.
I feel, if not more confident, just as confident as any law firm or attorney out there to assist the people in obtaining these licenses and going into business.
Yes, and there's and doing it the right way.
And there's a lot of other great attorneys out there who also are qualified. But I just concern, I've always practiced criminal defense. I've always represented people and fought for their rights, you know, in regards to all different kinds of controlled substances. I have fought the Fourth Amendment to, you know, illegal search and seizures. So I started specializing in medical marijuana cases, you know, illegal transportation, edible issues, dispensaries. I've represented from day one. So this was an easy transition. But again, what I bring to the table is the business sense.
Right.
So I'm not going to just help you apply for a license. My team is going to consult with you and make sure that you're running a good business.
Right.
So that you stay in business.
Oh, definitely. You don't want to fail.
Yeah. Great show.
Big show.
It's moving fast. But folks, again, you cannot apply for a license until 2017. But that doesn't matter because you need to start doing things now.
Oh, yes, you do.
If you wait till December of 2017 when you can start to apply, not December 2016, December 2017. If you wait till then, you're out of luck.
Yeah, start now.
I worked in Metro Detroit for 12 years. I'm so connected throughout the state of Michigan. People are moving now.
Well, it's going to take this amount of time to get everything in place.
Tomorrow's too late. You need to do something about this today, whether you do it on your own, you contact another attorney, a law firm, there's a lot of qualified individuals out there, or you contact my office at 989-772-6000.
Right.
And October 28th, we're having a huge conference here in town at the Comfort Inn, 1 p.m.
Yes, get online and register.
Get online and register. Nikki?
Great show.
I mean, did I lose my voice?
No, you didn't. It's a little hoarse, but it's still here.
Any shameless plugs out there? Any shout-outs?
Shout-out to my boyfriend, Eric.
I was going to give a shout-out to your boyfriend, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
I want to give a big shout-out to
his daughter, Skylar.
Big shout-out to them. Great people. I want to give a big shout-out to my two beta fish.
They're still talking to you? They still swimming towards you? Or are they still threatened by the tuna?
I feel so pressured. You know, if I get up in the middle of the night, I don't want to turn a kitchen light on because the fish think it's feeding time. And whenever I'm walking around the house, they're always following me.
Right.
I feel really pressured to feed them, and I think I'm overfeeding them.
I hope not.
My beta fish look like puffy fish now.
Oh, great.
You ever see those puffy fish?
Yes, I have. Don't feed them that much.
My beta fish need to go on a diet, but I feel like they're just following me every time I walk by their tanks.
That's what fish do.
No, I just want to be left alone. I'm in the kitchen. I need to do my dishes. I need to cook. I don't need the fish sitting there looking so adorable asking me for more food. I need to talk to Dr. Imlay. He's my veterinarian.
Okay.
I love Dr. Imlay. Big shout out to Dr. Imlay.
See if there's something wrong with your fish.
Yeah, because do vets handle fish issues, don't they?
I have no idea.
You know what? I'm going to ask Dr. Imlay and then Dr. Pohl.
Because I don't think anybody's ever taken a fish to the vet.
I'm taking my beta fish to the vet. I'm calling my vet tomorrow Monday morning. No one listens to the show. But if anyone at my vet does, I'm bringing my fish in. Hopefully they make it from where I live to the vet.
Okay.
All right. We have to go.
Good show.
Catch us on iTunes, Podbean, or SoundCloud.
Yes.
Nikki, I'm fired up now.
Yes, you
are.
Fire
up chips. Go blue, go green. I'll see you this time next week, same place.
Same time.
I'm not just a litigator.
You're an advocator.
Nikki, take us out with some new tunage.
The Todd L. Livett Law Show is brought to you by Chad Melly Well Drilling in Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's newest full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend for 97th District, Send a Doctor to the House, and by Innovative Insulation Systems. For those cold and hot days, make sure your insulation pays.